I think you need to work with people on your team who are going to be good at the things you need them to be good at, so that you're not asking them to be all over creation. Welcome to Gentle Frog's Bookkeeping Lily Pad, your cozy corner of the podcasting world, where numbers tell a story and bookkeeping blossoms into an adventure. My name is Rachel Barnett, and I'm glad you're here. This podcast is for bookkeepers who enjoy authentic, unfiltered, and always encouraging friend to chalk shop with. We will be discussing what it's like to own and operate a small bookkeeping business. I feel like I talk to people a lot about having a team, hiring help, getting support, getting those things that you need so that you're not doing it all by yourself. And so also you have people on the team that can do the thing better than you can do. I want to talk about expectations, supporting that person, having that person support you. It's kind of funny, but these are all the things that we should be communicating with our clients about. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get caught up in the momentum and we think we're just going to pivot and adjust and adapt to someone else's needs. That's not always great. Compromise in a personal relationship, totally fine. Compromising in a work relationship can be really exhausting because there's more than one of them. How many clients do you have? You got 20 clients and you're doing things 20 totally separate ways. You're learning to use different accounting software because this person was really nice and you wanted to help them out. So you're like, okay, cool. I'll spend some time learning this other software. Not so much a fan. I think the same is true for working with a team. I think you need to work with people on your team who are going to be good at the things you need them to be good at so that you're not asking them to be all over creation. Let's talk about working with a team in general. In no particular order, here's what I've written down to cover. How will you communicate? How will you onboard them? What are your expectations of them? How will you support them? I have a list of things that start with, it's okay if, and a list of things that start with, it's not okay if. So let's start with, how are you going to onboard this person? I have a bookkeeping friend that has an amazing onboarding document. She put it together in Canva, and it's a work of art. After I saw this, I was like, crap, I want to go work for her. The document covered who are we and how did the business get started, her personality, the type of clients they work with, the type of software they work with, just all of the things that you might want to know if you were going to start working with a new person. Many of us have had jobs in the past. Having an onboarding document or some sort of reference manual guide, something that says, here's what you can expect and here's how we got to where we are, that would be really nice. Her document wasn't the same as a bunch of SOPs. It was more like a welcome to the team and catch you up on the stories. When I onboard people, it's way less organized than that. In my defense, at this point, I'm not hiring anybody to be a full team member. It sounds kind of weird. I don't know how to best describe it. I've got myself, Jess, and Megan, and we're kind of the core team. We're the people that derive most, if not all of our income working at Gentle Frog. The rest of the people on my team are people that I appreciate greatly, but they have very small specific roles and very small specific things that they do. And there really isn't a lot of crossover. So getting back to onboarding, I put onboarding and communication together in my notes. I'm going to ask you, how are you going to onboard the person? If the person's going to join your team, you know what they do best. That's what you've hired them to do. How will you talk to them about that? How do you communicate throughout the day or throughout the week or throughout the month, whatever it is? I feel like you need to have some sort of written communication tool. You certainly can use email or Upwork Messenger, whatever makes the most sense in your case. In our case, we use Slack. If you wanted an alternative to Slack, there's also Discord. There's also a video chat. I believe that there's value in having video conversations with your team so you can have a back and forth dialogue about here's what's going on, here's what you need help with, here's what I'd like you to do. What I recommend, if you're comfortable with it, is to record the video. You're not recording the video as some sort of horrible gotcha. You're recording it to be beneficial to the person who's learning. When Megan and I started working together, I would throw a bunch of stuff at her and I would jump all over the place. Spoiler alert, I still do. I still jump all over the place. I'm sure that it's a bit of a challenge to work with me for the first time, at least on the side of my team. What I did and what I felt like worked really well was that I recorded the calls. By recording the calls, she could go back and revisit any topics she needed to. For other people I've worked with, and I think a little bit for Megan, I got to the point where I'd record the calls and then I would pop the video into Otter and get a transcription. The transcription made it so she didn't have to rewatch an hour worth of calls. She could go to the time marker or to the timestamp where we talked about the things she wanted to revisit. Again, the call recordings are not a gotcha. They're just providing support for the person. I remember from when I had jobs that I would take as good a notes as I could, but I would always miss stuff. And then I'd feel awkward asking. Even worse, if the employer or the supervisor would say, God, we've already covered this. I don't need someone to make me feel bad. I already feel bad enough that it made sense during the meeting. My notes are crap, and now I can't remember what I'm supposed to do. My recommendation to record and possibly send a transcript is to alleviate any frustration or awkwardness. So let's talk about expectations. Not here's a list of tasks, but what are you expecting from the person? These could be things that you didn't know you wanted until you started working with someone, or until you started just working on stuff in general. Your expectations may ebb and flow and change. When I first hired Jess, my VA, and Megan, the bookkeeper on our team, my expectation was they would help with a list of tasks. And if they did that, I would be thrilled, like beyond thrilled. Good, bad, or indifferent, they've raised the bar. They are both extremely proactive people. This means that my expectation, if I ever hire another person, which I seriously doubt will happen, that person needs to be very proactive. That's my preference. I have absolutely worked with people that do not want a proactive person on the team. They want a person that's going to read from a checklist, do what's on the checklist, and not deviate from the checklist. There's no right or wrong. It's more like you should identify what are your expectations and then communicate that. Do you expect the person to be outgoing and participate in team chats? Now, I mentioned before that our team, we use Slack. Within the Slack workspace, we've got the random channel for the memes and the silliness and the talking about the weather. Some people talk in there and some people don't. I don't have an expectation for my team that they're going to chatter in the team chat channel. I don't have an expectation of my team that they're going to upload a video every week describing their weekend. I want people to feel comfortable to join in the conversation when they want and to not join when they don't want and to never feel awkward about being a wallflower or a quiet person in the corner. The next thing on my list is schedule of availability. I mentioned this in a different podcast, but I think it's important enough to bring it up again and probably a few more times. What is your expectation for when your team member is going to be available? Do you want someone who's going to be online and available to work on things during the workday? Can they work at night when you're not online? Do you expect them to work a particular shift? Do you expect them to be available on a particular frequency, like every weekday, every Monday? What are your expectations? And then also, what about turnaround time? This again goes right back to me being very spoiled. When I need something and I message Jess and I'm like, hey, could you do this thing for me? I'd really appreciate it. The turnaround time is always very fast. It's not that I expect it, but I certainly appreciate it. At this point, if she's not able to turn something around quickly, she always lets me know. She says, hey, look, just a reminder, you're not my only client. This thing is going to take X amount of time. Just give you a heads up. Megan works here and then does whatever she does in her personal life. She doesn't have a second job. When I ask her if she can do something, she gives me an idea of her turnaround time. This is based on her workload for the week or the month or the whatever. I don't have strong expectations about a specific turnaround time. I just like knowing what it will be. And for each person, the turnaround time is different. For my video editor, the turnaround time can be between 1 and 3 business days. For my podcast editor, it can be between 3 and 7 business days. For Jess, I feel like she's duplicated herself because the turnaround time is often same day. And I'm like, I don't know how you can do that. It's not about having a particular turnaround time as an expectation. It's more about if you're going to be disappointed that somebody doesn't give you a particular turnaround time, you need to tell them up front what your expectations are. I let a client go once who I had had for years and liked a lot because his expectation was that I would respond to his emails on the same day. It just wasn't a thing that I wanted to offer or provide. Moving into support, you should ideally have identified your needs. The next step is, how do you communicate those needs? Do you have a video call like I mentioned? If so, are you recording it? Do you have a checklist in some sort of task manager? If so, can they get to it? Are you bombarding and sending a bunch of things that a person needs to do inside of a chat app? Full disclosure, this was me. I was sending all my graphic design requests to Maria in a chat app. So we had one single thread and we would both talk about the things that she was doing and any tweaks that I needed to images. And at the same time, I was sending her requests for new images. eventually she took me aside and she's like, Rachel, this isn't working. I need to have a place that I can go to see what images you're expecting and needing to get done. Or we need to use multiple different threads or channels or something. We can't have this ongoing dialogue with like 3 to 5 conversations happening at once. It's just bonkers. So I hope by sharing the side stories, it lets you know that I'm not perfect. I don't think you ever thought that in the first place, but I think sometimes there is this vision or expectation or thought or theory that a person who's been self-employed for a long time really has it dialed in. I don't think that's true. It was less than a year ago that Maria told me to knock it off and make a better plan for organizing our thoughts. How do you support or communicate or tell your team member if the expectations are not being met? If you need them to do a thing and they're not doing the thing and you're disappointed or you're feeling frustrated, what are you going to do about it? It's so silly to ask you this, but I'm asking you to think about it and make a plan and maybe let the person know, here's how I'm going to let you know if anything isn't quite aligned so we can make course corrections. My team knows, or hopefully knows, that I'll just send them a note in Slack. And also that I'm not going to nitpick every single thing. I'm only going to ask for corrections on the things that I can't fix myself, the things that are kind of big and might be cumbersome to fix, or the things that are recurring problems. Outside of that, I might just send a quick FYI, like, hey, FYI, I changed this thing from here to here. No big deal. Just letting you know. I was at a job once where the employer did not communicate when expectations weren't being met. What they would do instead was just grumble to the other team members. It was nice where you're on the receiving end of it because it meant you were part of the cool crowd and you got to know what was happening. But it was kind of crappy when you took a step back and realized this employer is mad at employee A or team member A, and they're telling team member B, but team member A never knows that there's a problem. Now, the employer justified this by saying, oh, I've talked to them countless times and it never gets any better. Which leads me to wonder, why keep that person going if you can't talk to them about what's going wrong and instead you need to blow off steam by talking to the other employees? So neither here nor there, but I recommend you have a plan in place to have those hard, weird, awkward conversations when your expectations are not being met. The whole reason for it is because you need the help. That's why you've hired people. And if you need the help because you've hired people, these people want to do a good job. People don't generally take a job hoping that they can do a crap job for you. The opposite is true. Is there a plan in place or a method in which your team member can ask you for help? What if they feel like they have questions and they're not sure what to do? What if they feel like you're not meeting their expectations? For example, if I tell Megan that I'm going to review something and I'll do it Monday or Tuesday, but I don't get to it, does she have a method in which that she could say, hey, it's Friday. You said you would do this thing. You haven't done this thing. I need you to do the thing. What if they have questions about just how to do work in general? Is there a way for your team member to ask you questions on how to do the work in such a way that they don't feel like they're being a bother or a burden? I've totally had this where I've had a job and I've needed clarifying information or I've needed training on something. And when I go to ask, the employer is dramatically overwhelmed. And there's never a good time to go over the thing. There's never a good time to go over my questions or get help with my problems. So let's go into the pep talks. This is the section I've titled, It's Okay If. It's okay if you're creating SOPs and checklists as you go. There is a chance when you hire someone that you have a loose outline of what needs to get done. There's also a very strong chance that you don't have a super perfect list on how this all takes place. Some of the best things I've done is collaborated with my person, my team, and said, here's what we need to do. We need to do X, Y, and Z. Let's talk through how that's going to happen. And then can you help me write a checklist or an SOP for this? It helps that person ensure that all of the things are being captured in the checklist, and it takes the burden away from you. This is not to say that you don't want to do it or you shouldn't be involved in it. It's to say that sometimes we don't move forward on a thing because we think, I can't hire someone until I get the SOP done. And I can't get the SOP done until I make it just a broad checklist to build the SOP from. And then you look at your calendar and you're like, I'm never going to have time to set aside and do this thing. And then you may never move forward. I say that it's okay if you don't have this stuff all done, as long as you figure out what you need to do and you're clear with the person you're hiring and saying, look, I've got a loose idea of what I need. I don't have a formal checklist. Maybe we can build this together. That person's going to say, yep, totally good, or nope, not my jam. It's okay if you can't afford much. Now, I want to split that in half and say, it's okay if you can't afford much. It is not okay if you're going to try to pay someone pennies on the dollar. If your business can't afford to pay people a living wage, you need to rethink your business. So when I say it's okay if you can't afford much, what I really mean to say is it's okay to go out there and try to hire someone and say, I'm going to pay you a fair wage, but my budget is small, so I really can only hire you for 1 or 2 hours a week. Are you comfortable with this? Would you like to continue this conversation? It's okay if you've never been a manager and you're sitting there squirming in your chair and saying, I don't think I'm good at managing. I don't know what to do. In my opinion, if you can be an authentic, kind human, the rest will work itself out. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to change your mind. You're going to say the awkward things. You're going to forget to mention something that needs to get done. Nobody's perfect. I try really hard to let my team know that I am definitely going to mess things up. I'm probably going to forget things that I need them to do. I'm never going to win some sort of Manager of the Year award. If they're willing to work with someone like me, then I'd love to continue the conversation. It's okay if you're not sure what you need. When I started working with Jess, the thing that I knew I needed was somebody to take my YouTube videos and turn them into blog posts on my website. There have been so many times since then where I've sent her a video saying I'm overwhelmed. Here are all the administrative things that I'm doing. I'm pulling my hair out. I don't know what I should do or shouldn't do. I don't even know what I need. I just need to like word vomit for 30 minutes showing you my screen and hope that you can look at some of this and either make a recommendation or offer to take something off of my plate. This, by the way, has been very successful. If there was a scale for how proactive a person can be, Jess, Megan, and Nina, who formerly worked with us, would be on the extreme end of this. They are all three very proactive people. They're people that somehow can see what's going on and make recommendations for things that I could do differently, software I might want to implement, or things that they can take off my plate if I want. I couldn't describe all of the things that Jess does for me, and I absolutely would never have said, these are things that I need. But much like when you go to the fancy restaurant and you get the really delicious dessert, it's going to fall in the category of, I didn't know I needed it until I saw it. And once I saw it, I knew I needed it for sure. Over and over again. The last thing I put in this section is, it's okay if your needs change. Did I mention how Jess started out just writing my blogs and now does 40 bajillion things for me every week? My needs definitely changed. Over time, as my business evolved and as I changed my mind about what I was doing and as I took on more things and as I needed more help and as I got more overwhelmed, my needs for my virtual assistant changed. And she has changed and adapted with me. Now, to clarify, this is not to say she does all the things. Carlos edits my videos. Kirill edits my podcast audio. Maria does my graphic designs. My needs have changed and she's adapted, but she's still the same human she was with the same limitations she's always had. She didn't suddenly become an artist willing to draw out all my crazy ideas. And now I'm going to go into the last section, and this one is the one I titled, It's Not Okay If. It bothers me so much when people pay other people a tiny, crappy wage. So the first thing I wrote down was, it's not okay if you expect people to work for free or for peanuts. I pay my entire team North American rates, even if they're not in North America. I never want to be in a position where I'm trying to bill out my clients North American rates and pay my team some sort of tiny, microscopic, ridiculous, embarrassing wage. It's not okay if you lie about having a team. This goes two ways. I don't think it's okay if you lie about having a team and say, oh, I don't have a team, I'm solo, when really you do have a team. Maybe your team is your husband. Maybe your team is your kid. When I hear people lie and say they don't have a team and pat themselves on the back for all the things that they do all by themselves, when in the same breath you can hear them talking about their family members helping with their business, I lose a lot of respect for them. The last thing on my list of it's not okay if is it's not okay to get mad at someone because they couldn't read your mind. I'm sure we've all had this job or this situation where the person you're working for or working with doesn't give you all the information and then gets mad at you because you didn't do the thing or gets mad because you couldn't read their mind. I think it's unfair. I had one of these about 10 years ago. The client would get mad that I couldn't read his mind and then he would just kind of sit there and not talk to me and kind of pout. I'm already awkward and uncomfortable working with someone in person. I'm even more so when the person less than 5 feet from me is pouting and not talking to me because I've done something wrong that I have no idea what I've done wrong because I can't read their mind and because they won't tell me what I did wrong or what I should have done differently. It's okay to be upset that something wasn't done right. You just have to tell the person you're working with like, hey, I needed wanted this to be done different. But to expect someone to read your mind, that's unfair. My goal for this podcast is not to tell you what you should do or what you have to do. My goal is just to take people who are new and small in business and give them things to think about. I'm the kind of person who loves a good open-ended question. I want it to be small enough to be specific and clear, such as, do I need someone who's proactive or do I need someone who's outgoing? It's not like there's a right answer or a wrong answer for any of this. It's more like I'm trying to give you a set of questions and things to work through and think through before you hire a person, or when you have hired a person, things to kind of have at your fingertips. It's real popular to say, oh, you have to have your systems in place before you hire someone. Well, I kind of disagree. I think that your systems might come as you work with that person and you develop them together. But I think you should still think about other things, like how will you work with the person? What do you want from the person? How will you talk to your person? How will your person talk to you? I hope it's been helpful. If you have any ideas, if you want to chat further about it, definitely welcome to book time with me one-on-one, gentlefrog.com/meeting, or hop into the Facebook group, Gentle Frog's Bookkeeping Lily Pad. A friend of mine told me I do a poor job of explaining the purpose of the Facebook group, but really my thought is we could have a place to just talk about running a business. There are so many places to learn how do I use QuickBooks and what's my debit, what's my credit. Like that's all stuff that happens elsewhere. My goal is to take some of this business coaching and mentoring that I do and put it into a podcast and put it into a Facebook group and give people access for free by asking them to spend time listening. So that's all I got for you guys. I hope this has been helpful. Thanks.